Back here on Talking Baseball, Giants pregame show. Giants and the Diamondbacks coming up around 3 o'clock here on KNBR 104.5 680, the sports leader. Kerry Crowley here with you, and it's my pleasure to welcome in our next guest. Weekly segment with Mark Simon. Mark, how are you today? Happy 4th.
Good. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, looking forward to our conversation as always. And hey, we've got a heck of a pitching matchup today. Carlos Rodon for the Giants, Madison Bumgarner for the Arizona Diamondbacks, who every Giants fan, of course, is familiar with. But Bumgarner's a little different pitcher at this stage of his career. What have you seen from him this season? Because he's still been relatively effective, even though the strikeout totals are down.
Yeah, so the numbers indicate that he's doing it with kind of a different approach than I think he would necessarily typically do it. If you compare like last year to this year, more stuff up at the top of the zone doesn't always work. But I guess that sets up the stuff at the bottom of the zone, which now, I mean, he throws the fastball very little. He throws the slider a pretty fair amount. The most effective pitch is the one where I think it has the element of surprise, which is the changeup. Mm-hmm. Opponents hitting in the 120s against it. He's allowed 5 hits with it the whole season. As I said, he doesn't throw it a lot. He picks his spots. And he tries to get outs with it that way. It's funny, his last start, the fastball has gotten hit a little too much, I think, and his last start was his best start with it, even though he didn't necessarily get a lot of outs with it, but the point was that they didn't, like, hit doubles and triples and home runs against it. So he's a little bit different, still able to get it done, maybe not at the elite level that he did in San Francisco, but still learning how to become more of a pitcher in the latter part of his career.
No, I think that's very well said, and I brought that point up with Marty and Bill and said, hey, look, the different iterations of Madison Bumgarner throughout his career, he's not the same 20-year-old who came up in 2010. He's not the same guy you saw in 2014. He's not even the same guy you saw in 2019, his final season with the Giants, but he's really interesting to watch, and today he's up against a power pitcher in Carlos Rodon, who I think Giants fans have really enjoyed seeing this season. There have been times where Giants fans have been frustrated that he's come out of games early because the pitch count gets up there, but there's so many different numbers that tell the story of Carlos Rodon's evolution as a pitcher, Mark. And I think that he's just been a joy to watch for Giants fans in many regards because he can blow hitters away with the fastball. He can wipe them out with the slider. He's a really intriguing arm from the left side.
It's kind of like he's a closer, but he can go 6 instead of 1 because he does so much of it with the fastball slider combo. The stat that I like on him of recency is that I think you could make a good case that he should have won NL Pitcher of the Month. If you look at, like, there are stats that measure the combination of strike throwing, out getting, and damage limiting, meaning you didn't allow, like, extra base hits. And by those stats, he had the best combination of pitches of anyone in the sport for June. Alcantara was right there. It was, like, neck and neck. But he was at the very top. His June numbers were terrific. There's nowhere where he gets hit particularly hard, either when he throws the ball down the middle. He has lived up to a status, and of course the question becomes, can he do that for 28 to 30 starts? The way the Giants are going right now, that seems like an absolute necessity.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions joining us here on the Giants pregame show. Giants and the Diamondbacks. It's hard to believe it's July 4th, but they're playing each other for the first time this season. This is a Giants team that beat the D-backs 17 out of their 19 games last year. They just dominated a lowly Arizona team that basically everything went wrong. What is interesting about this D-backs team to you, Mark? What should Giants fans know about this squad this year?
I'll give you a couple of things. One is this one just made me laugh. The Diamondbacks on May 31st beat the Braves 8-7. They had one of their best games of the season. At the end of the day for that game, their team batting average was .220, and that's the high water mark, which tells you just how bad their offense has been the whole season. They have not hit. They have not hit at all outright. Like they are to the National League what the Tigers are to the American League, and the Tigers were able to snag one against the Giants, but they have not hit except, funnily enough, like the last 5 games, their numbers aren't that bad, but that's 5 games versus like 75 games. The other thing to know is they're good when the opponent starts a left-handed pitcher, 11-11, if that qualifies as good. And that's largely because of Marte and Christian Walker. And Christian Walker is also interesting because he is right now the best defensive first baseman in baseball by the metrics, by a good amount. He plays a wide first base. When right-handed hitters come up, you're going to see he's almost playing like the equivalent of first and second at the same time, which I think is a neat kind of look. And the pitching has been rough. May 11th, 5.1 ERA. They're not getting swings and misses. They don't throw first pitch strikes. They don't have anyone who can blow the ball by you. But yet, they might look pretty good against the way the Giants lineup is going right now.
Yeah, that is very true. It was an ugly weekend, a truly just bad homestand. There's no other way to put it for the Giants. So at least those numbers for how dismal the D-backs have been, those sound somewhat promising, Mark. Let's look around the rest of Major League Baseball right now. Go division by division. Just something interesting you see. And maybe let's start in the NL West. We've got two teams going today, the Giants and the Diamondbacks, of course, third and fourth place teams right now. Well, what intrigues you about the NL West at this point?
I don't think that that's any sort of surprise. The wild card becomes what the Padres can do. Are the Padres going to be a team that melts at the end of the season, or are the Padres going to be a team that does what it should have done last year and wins 90 to 95 games? I think they have the pieces to be the 90 to 95 win team and really pull away from San Francisco and St. Louis and others for that matter, to put themselves in like a comfortable wild card spot. Musgrove, really good. Manaea, very good. Mackenzie Gore, mostly really good. Darvish, really good. Great at the end of the game with Taylor Rogers. I would say that they're the most interesting team in the West right now.
So let's go NL Central, and you look at the bottom of that division. The Pirates, the Cubs, and the Reds all tanking right now, even though the Reds took it to the Giants this season. But at the top of the division, the Brewers in first place, the Cardinals trailing them by just two games right now. Cardinals have done some interesting things this year. Tommy Edman has been sensational defensively. He's got a really high WAR, and if you don't know him, he's a Stanford product, so he played some baseball in the Bay Area for local fans out there. And then Paul Goldschmidt, to me, Mark, he's playing at an MVP-caliber level.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. They talked about it on last night's ESPN game about how he's used virtual reality as a new tool, like an embracer. He's an embracer of technology who plays with an old school approach. He's basically trouted the sport, I guess, this season with the way that his numbers are. Edman is a 15 homer, 30 to 40 steal guy who's gonna be an above average hitter. Who, as you said, has been fantastic defensively. Right now, I think the Cardinals have a few more pieces than the Giants that are working. Wainwright and Michaelis at the top of the rotation, certainly. They have, I guess, their equivalent of Duvall is Ryan Helsley, who has very good numbers. I think right now they are the six at this point in time. And I think they're the team that if the Giants are going to catch someone, that's the team that they got to catch.
Yeah, to me, that's going to be a really hard team to catch. I just like the pieces the Cardinals have right now. Arenado and Goldschmidt tormented the NL West, tormented the Giants for a decade plus, and they're still capable of doing so in that NL Central with the Cardinals. Hey, NL East right now, I saw a stat earlier today. Marlins have beaten the Nationals like 12 of 13 games this year. Other than that, they really haven't beaten anyone. But the East is being run right now by the New York Mets, and the Braves hot on their heels, Mark. The Braves have been playing great baseball in the month of June and now into July.
Yeah, I think the Braves kind of got ignited when Michael Harris came up, which made them a much more interesting team. He's hitting over 300. He had a big home run, even though they lost yesterday. I think that they are probably in the sphere of the Mets. I don't know that they will catch the Mets. I think that that will be a decent race. I think that, like, as it's funny, the Mets have played 500 now for 25-30 games. But the Mets are still on pace to win 100. And I have said since about the 20-25 game mark that I thought that this looked like an 100-win team so long as they stayed healthy. They're so veteran set up with everybody, and they get Scherzer back, and they get DeGrom back, and Edwin Diaz looks really good. Eduardo Escobar, who had been kind of lousy, is starting to come around, and they're almost certainly going to trade for at least one piece, if not two, to really try and go for it. Like, that's what the owner's going to do. You figure you're going to do that every year.
Yeah, that's what he's going to do, and that's what the Dodgers are going to do. You can just count on it. A few more from Mark Simon here before we let you go. A look at the American League East, where I think we had four 90-win teams last year, and it may not be that way this year, but we could have four 85-87-win teams. The Yankees clearly the class of the AL East right now, 13.5 games out in front of the Boston Red Sox, but the Blue Jays, the Rays hot on their heels. That AL East, once again, could produce multiple playoff teams, Mark.
So I have a theory on the Blue Jays that if the Blue Jays were to run into the Yankees in the postseason, that it might be a tougher go for the Yankees than anticipated, because I think they have run into a number of games with the Yankees this season where they've been right there and something went badly at the end of the game. I think that if Glucksman is healthy and they have Alek Manoah, he's very good. Ross Stripling, former Dodger, has pitched great. Rios has not. If they get him right, that would give them four or five really good starters. And I just think that in a postseason scenario, you could see a Chapman and Guerrero and Springer and Teoscar Hernandez and others lineup really contend well with the Yankees. So I would give the Blue Jays a fair shot at things, not to win the division, but to, if they see the Yankees down the road, to maybe cause some trouble.
Yeah, but if the Blue Jays cause some trouble for the Yankees, that would mean we'd be robbed as a interested baseball fan base of the Yankees-Astros series we've all been promised. And how about Christian Javier? I know that he made headlines a few weeks ago for what he did leading the no-hitter at Yankee Stadium, but he continues to dominate hitters, and I think that he might be one of the most underrated pitchers in baseball, right up there with Sandy Alcantara, who probably isn't underrated anymore on a national landscape now that now that he's a Cy Young contender.
Yeah, his stats are sick. Christian Javier, the last two seasons now, is almost at 12 strikeouts per nine innings, which is, like, ridiculous. Yeah. His ERA is down around 3. I feel like I would say I don't think the Yankees have an easy road here, because I think Houston, with him, Verlander, and Framber Valdez, I think that they can be a formidable opponent, especially with the lineup that they put out there. They are very clearly, even though they gacked the game against the Yankees in New York, that they certainly shouldn't have lost, they are very formidable. I think the idea that the Yankees are going straight to the World Series is not necessarily a conclusion. Just staying in the West for one second, I will say that the Mariners are hot right now. They've won like 10 or 13, and Julio Rodriguez has been great. But I think they are too far. Their hole was a little too big for me. They're five games out right now, but behind a bunch of teams. I think they're an interesting watch at this point, and we'll see where they go, because I think their GM, definitely, if he thinks he can go for it, he would.
Yeah, Jerry DePoto, if we know anything about him, he'll make 72 trades, and 70 of them will be with Farhan Zaidi for guys who are on the AAA to the majors pipeline right now. Hey, Mark, one last one before we let you go. A quick thought on the AL Central. White Sox at 38-39 after sweeping the Giants, but only 4.5 games back of the Minnesota Twins. Can they get back in this?
Yeah, the Giants helped let them back in a little bit.
They did.
I think that it's Minnesota's to win. I don't know that I necessarily have great justification for that at this point. I think Buxton will wind up hitting better than 227. I understand. I think that the White Sox are just kind of brittle, and that as things come back for them, that other pieces are going to go. I just don't. It sounds like a silly thing to say. I don't feel like the karma is right for them this year. The thing that's coolest about the AL Central is that the Guardians have overachieved. And Andrés Giménez, former Met, who was traded for Lindor, has turned into this. You were talking about Tommy Edman. He's turned into this terrific player that now is like an 18-20 homer guy, 300 hitter, and an excellent defender, and is a player to watch in the AL Central for the rest of the year.
So there you have it, a look around Major League Baseball with Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Mark, happy 4th. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Kerry. See you.
All right, he is Mark Simon. More on Talking Baseball. You're listening to the Giants pregame show. Kerry Crowley, Bill Lasky, Marty Lurie. Up next, it'll be Marty with Steve Gilbert of MLB.com. You're listening to the Giants pregame show here. KBR 104.5, 680, the sports leader.